Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andrew Baker, here with my co-host, Graham Owen. Yeah, it's a sad podcast today. We pretty much knew this was happening.
I mean, we called it. We both said it in our last podcast.
I've been thinking this was the likely case for, well, ever since Dan Gilbert screwed up last summer. We've been over that. We don't have to rehash it. But it's official. LeBron James is gone. He now plays for the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Cavs are back to being harassed by all of NBA Twitter and made fun of, and everyone's acting like Cleveland has suddenly lost everything it had as a city, which is complete bullshit, by the way. At least Cleveland's still a city on the ups. But
at least we're in the East.
Yeah, the banner's gone of LeBron in downtown, and
rebuild is in full effect.
It's the start of a whole new era. Rebuild may be in full effect, or may not be, depending on Dan Gilbert's pride, which we'll discuss later.
Yeah.
So, just to kind of start off, I guess, Graham, what was your reaction and your thoughts to seeing the news officially come out?
I was kind of just like, you know, I had a real good feeling he was going to leave, so I had already prepared myself for it. And most of this offseason, I had prepared myself for it. In our previous podcast, I've kind of been pessimistic about it. Like, I mean, that's why I was always talking about future stuff and things like that. Like, you don't know that LeBron's going to leave, but I was just like, he's probably going to leave. Like, there was a 95% chance he was going to leave. And once the news hit, it sucked for about 5 minutes. It wasn't like last time where it took me a solid couple days, maybe even a week to really like process what happened, because he did it on such a grand stage in such a weird way. But this time it was very quiet. He told people he was leaving. He did that when he was on vacation. When he was in his decision cave, he was probably just telling people like, hey, I'm going to the Lakers. He comes back from LA July 1st, doesn't wait until July 9th or 10th or 11th, says I'm leaving to go to the Lakers. He sends an Instagram post thanking Cleveland with a picture of him riding around during the championship. Dan Gilbert, surprisingly, doesn't thrash him on a media post this time. Wishes him well, which I don't know how much of that I believe, but I'm a LeBron fan at this point. Like, it took me a long time to kind of come to terms with that. Like, especially when he first came back, I was like, he's not my favorite player because he left the first time, and I think you kind of throw that to the wayside once you see him play and see what he did for the city and what he does for the community. I mean, his first public appearance is going to be in about three and a half weeks from now when he's back in Akron opening up a school for underprivileged children. So he's always going to be an Ohioan, a Northeast Ohioan. And we are going to one day, and hopefully maybe you and me get to go see it when in 10, 15 years when he, or even sooner than that, when he retires, when his banner gets put up in the rafters and the queue, and we really get to see him finally retired as a Cleveland Cavalier. And he'll go into the Hall of Fame, I think, as a Cavalier. I think that's how he would want it, because of how he didn't win the most titles here, but he brought probably his most important title here.
He didn't win the most titles here yet. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, LeBron's going to have a statue in Cleveland, not just a jersey retirement.
In front of the arena, certainly. Most likely.
Oh, yeah. Guarantee you.
And they already have one that was built in Akron, so.
Yeah, you know, you're right. The entire scenario, the entire situation of LeBron's leaving the Cavs just feels so, so different this time around. Whereas the first time, you know, I say we as in you, me, and I think a lot of Clevelanders and Cavs fans in general, and Northeast Ohioans in general, you know, kind of felt burned, felt betrayed, felt like this was someone who said, Northeast Ohio isn't that great. I'm going off to have fun with my life now.
Embarrassed, almost.
And the way it went down with the decision and him going on TV to basically say, that's right, y'all, I'm out of here. I'm going to Miami where it's warm, sucks. And I just think it feels so different than it does now, because LeBron's legacy has been secured. LeBron came back to Cleveland. He mended a lot of those hurt feelings with his words and also, like you said, with his actions and opening up a school and doing I mean, the amount of charity work and the amount that that man has done for the people of Northeast Ohio is, it's just incredible. And not only that, you know, he's got the title. He won the title in Cleveland. He came here and he delivered. And
in the most epic way possible.
Yeah. He brought Cleveland and the Cavs a championship. And that was, he said, the biggest achievement of his career. And I don't think there's anything he can do in his career that will surpass that. And I think another reason that it feels so different is not just that this time we suspected it and we knew. I guess in the back of our minds before, we always thought it was a possibility, but it just, it wasn't as real last time beforehand. Beforehand, last time it was like, oh, he's got to stay, right? And this time it was, you know, we were resigned to the fact. And I think we were resigned to the fact because of basically, you know, Dan Gilbert and his decisions in team building and his decisions in ego and his decisions of instability in the organization. And I think because of those reasons, I think there's very few people in Northeast Ohio that are going to blame LeBron for leaving or be angry at him. There's a lot of disappointment, sure. I'm disappointed, but I fully expected it, and I understand his decision, and I understand why he made it. And his legacy as a person and as a player in Cleveland, there wasn't anything left for him to do here. And he could have won more titles here, But with the way the Cavs roster is, and with the lack of stability in the organization, I just don't. There was not a path for him winning a title in Cleveland anymore, and that's a shame. But it's a reality that I accept, and I'm not a Lakers fan now, but I'm certainly a LeBron fan.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be watching more Lakers.
I'm certainly hoping that he wins another title or two for his own personal legacy, because I believe in him as a man and as a player, you know. But, you know, it's kind of melancholy because it does suck, but I was just so prepared for it, and I just understand the why, that it's hard for me to be really, really upset about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, he there wasn't a path to winning a title in Cleveland. And I think we can now, you know, kind of discuss the Lakers part of this equation. And there's not really a path for the Lakers to win the title this year at all, barring something crazy happening in the trade market. So I think it's clear that LeBron looked at his options and said, there is no perfect scenario for me. He would love to stay in Northeast Ohio because it's home. He'd love to play in Los Angeles because it's Los Angeles.
And he lives there in the offseason. Yeah. And his family really enjoys it there.
Right.
So.
And for his business ventures and for his, like, Space Jam 2 is going to happen. His film career.
His uninterrupted stuff.
For all these
there.
Things, LA is the best place for that to happen. But, and you look at other places like Philly, they've got the most young talent that he could have gone to.
They were probably the best basketball situation.
If you look at it, there's not a slam dunk perfect situation for Cleveland. In 2010, Miami was perfect. Move on from Cleveland for a while, head to a warm weather city, play with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh.
Learn to be a leader.
Learned exactly. 2014, come back to Cleveland to play with Kyrie and Kevin Love, who was not here but presumed to be here
but
if
Love,
LeBron came back.
But LeBron basically was like, okay, I'm back, make that trade. Get rid
right.
of trade Andrew Wiggins.
So LeBron,
get us Kevin Love.
LeBron knew he was coming back to Kyrie Irving and another superstar, Kevin Love, and come back home, mend all the wounds, deliver on that title, secure your legacy. This year, there was not a single scenario where you can look at and it checked all the boxes for LeBron. So I think LeBron made the choice, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to enjoy life. Not that he would enjoy life in Northeast Ohio, but it's a new phase of his career. It's with a historic organization. I think he's trusting that it might not happen this year, but he's trusting that Magic Johnson and the allure
and Genie Bus
and Genie Bus
and
the allure of
yeah.
the Los Angeles Lakers is gonna lead to a stable organization, not drama like there has been in Cleveland. and a team that eventually, within the next couple years, will get the pieces to win a title. And it might not happen this year, but I think he's trusting.
Well, he clearly is.
He's trusting.
Signed a 3-year, yes. Potentially 4-year contract.
Yes. And I'm going to let you talk in one sec. I've been rambling here, which anyone that knows me in real life knows that I can ramble. But that's the thing. That's the one thing about this whole situation that, you know, I don't want to say uncomfortable with or angry about, but, you know, he when LeBron came back to Cleveland, he made sure that he had ultimate leverage every single year because he signed a 1-year deal with a 1-year player option. So every year he was in control. If you don't do what needs to be done for me, I will leave. So LeBron was in an ultimate power situation. And I think LeBron might be looking at his career now and saying, I don't want that anymore. I just want to be in an organization that I can trust to make the moves that are necessary and be a little bit more of a player and a little bit less of an everything. And it's unfortunate because it would be interesting to see what the Cavs could have done had LeBron given them a long-term commitment. Because we'll never know if LeBron had committed for 4 years in 2014 or if LeBron had just re-signed now for 4 years, what could have happened and what moves would have been different and how the front office could have treated things differently. But LeBron wasn't making those 1-year deals because he didn't like Cleveland or the Cavs in Northeast Ohio. It's because he doesn't trust Dan Gilbert.
Yeah.
And for very good reason. And I get it. And I get him kind of holding the flame under Dan Gilbert's ass every year. But Gilbert spent a lot of money.
He spent the money that he felt like LeBron wanted Tristan to stay here. He signed Tristan. He wanted JR to stay here. He signed JR. He made the financial commitments that were necessary for us, but and those might have been short-sighted moves. And now in hindsight, it seems like they were because just those players are not the same players they used to be.
But the Cavs won a title.
But the Cavs won a title with those players, and they basically got their deals because of that. Because of the title.
Would you pay all those guys over again and get a title? I would.
Yeah, I think, but also with LeBron and his leverage plays and his relationship with Dan Gilbert, that now leaves, which we'll talk about soon, that leaves the Cavs in a really tough spot. But I mean, LeBron did what he needed to do for himself and for his family, and I honestly just want him to be happy. Like, I feel like at this point in his career, he's not on the back nine, he is on the back nine of his career. That doesn't mean he's not going to be amazing.
He's not on the final hole yet.
No, he's not going
to. If you want to continue the analogy.
He's not going to be declining in his talent, because it seems like he just never has a decline in his talent. He's always peaking. He never seems to be bad. And I don't think he will be. I don't think he's going to all of a sudden start to decline in his career, but I think...
True that. LeBron James is never bad.
I mean, at 37, at the end of his contract, when he's 37, 38, he's still going to be one of the best players in the league, even if he's not the best anymore.
And LeBron James Jr. might be headed to the NBA.
That's not until 2023. Hold your horses.
Well...
LeBron will be 40.
No, the one-and-done rule is almost certainly going to be gone by then, so...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
At the end of this 4 years... There's going to be about a year until Bronny makes the NBA.
Maybe.
If he does.
I'd say we have
there's
to see if
we
he's
can't
a good...
assume, but it, by all indications, this early, there's a really good chance of it.
Yeah, I mean, we can't
just
assume genetic makeup, though.
No, but LeBron's clearly, I mean, he said it publicly. He's one of his goals is to play with his son in the NBA.
I'm sure it is, but I'm just saying we can't just assume yet.
It's a long time in the future, and LeBron could get hurt, God forbid. Yes.
It's not even the LeBron factor. Is his son going to be an NBA prospect? His son could very well be just playing right now at his age, dominating, and when he gets to be older, it might not be the same. I hope that it happens, so that way LeBron can fulfill this dream, but this was strictly a business decision for LeBron.
Right. That's the point. Is this move to L.A.? Isn't a basketball choice or a business choice or a it's a set up the rest of my career and legacy choice. Get him, you know, that's the whole point. Is it the best situation for everything combined that he could find?
Yeah, it's a
that best. Said, it's a this roster is
they made one really good move and then the rest I've been questioning.
They signed Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to a 1 year deal for $12 million, which is an overpay.
It's better than what they gave him last year. They gave him 1 year, $18 million.
It's a 1 year deal, so it's hard to squabble with it too much. He did play
pretty well last year.
The thing is, we all know that KCP is getting that deal because he's a Clutch Sports client, which is
LeBron's.
Which
is what LeBron is represented by.
Right. His friends own the company.
Yeah, Maverick Carter.
And they signed JaVale McGee to a minimum, which is perfectly reasonable.
He played pretty well in the
playoffs. They signed LeBron's arch nemesis, Lance Stephenson.
That was probably my favorite.
And they signed Rajon Rondo to way more money than he should have gotten. But they're all one-year deals. So if the Lakers need to trade one of those guys, or they need to cut bait on one of those guys, despite the fact they might have overpaid for some of these guys, they're obviously having the goal in mind to keep themselves flexible. But that said, you're assuming there's a good chance there's another shoe to drop here. But the current Lakers roster has Lance Stephenson, Rajon Rondo, and Lonzo Ball, all three of whom are ball-dominant players that can't shoot at all, which are literally the exact opposite type of player that plays well with LeBron.
And there's no sidekick for LeBron here, because Brandon Ingram had a good year last year.
They've got a bunch of young guys. Yeah. They've got a bunch of...
They have good young talent. Like, they have three really good young players.
It's not a roster that's ready to win now.
No.
And the additions of Lance and Rondo and JaVale McGee and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, those guys aren't going to make this team a contender this year. But they're flexible. They got Magic Johnson. They're the Los Angeles Lakers. So I think, clearly, you know, the number one thing we got to look at here is Kawhi Leonard. Because it's been assumed for years that Paul George would sign with the Lakers. And he's staying with the Thunder. And I think...
That made me laugh.
I think it's kind of a cautionary tale. And the Lakers have to be careful in two senses. Number one, they have all this young talent. And LeBron clearly wants something that's long-term success. Sustainable. He doesn't want the Lakers to have to dump all of their young players. But if the Cavs don't trade for Kawhi Leonard right now, there's a chance that what happened with Paul George... Paul George was widely assumed... He told the Pacers last year, I'm not re-signing with you. They traded him to the Thunder. Yeah. It was widely presumed, it doesn't matter where he gets traded, he's going to play with LeBron and the Lakers. And he didn't go to the Lakers. He's staying in OKC because he likes Russell Westbrook and he likes the situation.
That's also just them assuming that because he's from that area that he would automatically want to go
back
there. He never said it himself.
That's the thing with Kawhi Leonard that the Lakers have to be careful with, because there's all these rumors that Kawhi wants to play for the Lakers. But if Kawhi If Kawhi gets traded somewhere else and likes where he's at, he might not go to LA at all. And the Lakers have to try and work this line of trying to keep as much young talent as possible. But if they can get Kawhi Leonard, they have to do it. Because as much as LeBron wants sustainable success, yes. And LeBron doesn't want to give up a bunch of young talent, yes. But if the Lakers don't get Kawhi this year and he re-signs somewhere else, that is a major, major, debilitating situation for the Lakers. And additionally, sustainable success is one thing, but LeBron is going to be 34 this year. So it's not like they can just wait and hoard young players. They can wait a year, but LeBron's still in win-now mode,
He is, but I also think that if I'm Kawhi, I'm looking at this entire situation and being like, okay, clearly I've outstayed my welcome in San Antonio. I'm done here.
Not even that. He just wants to go.
Right. That's what he's saying. Like, I'm done here. I need to move on. If I go to the Lakers, sure, I could be playing back home and I could be playing with LeBron. It's going to be Kawhi, LeBron, and a bunch of nobodies. Because they're going to have to trade Brandon Ingram, who's the best young player they have. They're going to probably have to trade Kyle Kuzma, who's second or third best player. They're going to have to trade two of those guys. They're probably not going to have to trade him, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, because that would probably be too much. But they're going to have to trade Brandon Ingram. If I'm the Spurs, if I'm not getting Brandon Ingram back, I'm hanging up the phone, because they're trading someone who
1,000%.
You're trading someone who at his peak is a top three or four player in the league. You could argue it goes LeBron, Durant, Kawhi when they're healthy.
Agreed.
So you're not giving him up for peanuts, and you picked the wrong franchise for him to be on. If this was another franchise, you might be able to bully them a little bit. But the Spurs are not going to take anything less than what they perceive to be the best. So if I'm Kawhi, I would seriously consider looking at other situations to do the Paul George thing, to be like, maybe I would like it somewhere else. Because maybe he fits better in Philadelphia, where he could be that star player, but not have to be ball dominant, because he would have Ben Simmons running point and Joel Embiid in the post. Or maybe he wants to be on a super team of his own and get traded to the Celtics, who have many assets, some assets that they don't need, but are still very valuable assets. So let's think trade offers. Let's start with the Lakers, because the Lakers are where we're talking about. You offer Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, another young promising player for the Lakers, and a first-round pick. Okay, that's a pretty good offer, right? Like, you would do that
deal.
That's
reasonable.
All of these deals, I'm going to assume that the other side would do, and I'm going to make them
as fair
as possible.
And by the other side, you mean the Spurs. Because the Spurs, they're going to have to trade Kawhi for something.
Yeah.
That much is clear.
Like, they're going to have to trade him. So you start out with the Lakers. That's a pretty good deal. You take that deal.
Yep.
Then you go to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is like, okay, we're going to give you Markelle Fultz. And with the Spurs, you might be able, there's a much better chance that he ends up becoming the player that he wants to be because of the tutelage he would get under Greg Popovich, under Ettore Messina, under Becky Hammon, that coaching staff. They would be able to develop him. And then you also get Dario Saric, who seems like he's handmade to play for the Spurs because of his passing ability, his rebounding, and his ability to shoot.
And he's foreign.
Right. And then you also have Robert Covington, who was a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, pretty good shooter, able to slash, disappeared later this year in the playoffs, but maybe he was just tired, maybe it was situation, I don't know. But you get those three guys, and then you add a first-round pick.
Maybe the Suns unprotected pick in 2021, or the Heat.
The Heat unprotected pick. If you offer those three in the Heat in 2021, that probably beats the Lakers' offer.
Maybe.
Okay, and then we go to Boston, because Boston clearly has, in my opinion, has the most assets they can give up.
You don't even have to include a specific package from the Celtics. The Celtics have young players.
Well, without,
they have picks. They have Kyrie's good contracts.
Kyrie is a pipe dream, so a Kyrie for Kawhi swap is very unlikely. So
I don't know, man.
I'm going to toss that out.
I don't know, man. I think it's a possibility.
I think Boston really likes Kyrie, and they want to sign him long term because I think he fit really well with them this year. And and that showed when he was playing. He was much better in terms of impact than he was with the Cavs at points during the season. But you could trade Jaylen Brown, a young promising player that showed a lot this year in the playoffs.
Who would you rather have going forward for the rest of their career right now if they were paid the same? Jaylen Brown or Brandon Ingram?
Jaylen Brown.
I think I might take Ingram, but it's close.
And I would off like.
But the Celtics have so many more. They have like the Marcus Morris very fair contract. They have
Terry Rozier.
They have draft picks.
The Kings pick.
Right.
Like, if you offer Jaylen Brown, Terry Rozier, Morris, and the Kings pick, that's the best offer.
The Celtics have and have had the most assets in the NBA for a couple of years now. The thing with Kawhi is players have leverage. And if Kawhi says to the Celtics, to the Sixers, whoever else, I will not commit to sign long-term there, those teams will not give up what the Spurs want to get back for Kawhi Leonard.
I think that's why the Lakers are afraid too.
And if the Lakers, if Kawhi tells the Lakers, if you make it happen, I will re-sign, the Spurs almost have to take an offer from the Lakers. But this is the whole game of Kawhi leveraging to where he wants to go, the Lakers not trying to give up too much, other teams being cautious, the Spurs demanding. My point is, the Lakers need to do what they can do to make sure they get Kawhi Leonard, because he's a perfect fit with LeBron. But they're in a situation where, like you said, they can be cautious because it's assumed that Kawhi wants to go there. It's not a guarantee. And that's what I'm saying, is they have to try and get him. But they have a situation where they can tell San Antonio, look, Kawhi's going to re-sign here. You're not getting a bigger offer from somewhere else. So it's going to be a cat and mouse game potentially all summer long.
I think.
But my point is,
yeah.
The Lakers, we both said it. The Lakers are not winning a title this year with this roster.
No, they're at best the third best team in the
at best.
West. And that's probably generous.
Maybe fourth or fifth.
That's generous.
But the Lakers have to kind of toe this line of long-term sustainability and winning now because LeBron is getting older. And I think that's LeBron's going to the Lakers because he trusts Magic Johnson to make those moves. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So another move that has been kind of exploding NBA Twitter is DeMarcus Cousins signing with the Warriors. And there's two things I think about this. Number one, God damn it, really?
They should just wave the white flag.
The best team in the NBA. They were a 73-win team that added Kevin Durant.
I'd argue one of the best 15
And they now have added DeMarcus Cousins. It's
out of control.
They have one of the five best players at their respective position.
At every position.
At every position. And
assuming DeMarcus comes back from his injury.
And that's ridiculous. And it's unfair. And it's maddening. And it's angering. And all those things. There's also another side of the coin. DeMarcus Cousins ruptured his Achilles. That's an injury that many players never come back the same from. And if they do, it takes multiple seasons.
Didn't Kobe
tear
his Achilles?
And he was never the same.
Well, he was old, but yeah.
Yeah. And big men especially. And DeMarcus Cousins is a big,
he's like
big
290
man.
Pounds.
The injury is massive. And it's incredibly difficult to come back full strength, especially within a year and whatever. What, 2 months like DeMarcus Cousins would have to do to come back for the playoffs next year at full strength? And I think there's a lot of uproar about this, and I get it. But DeMarcus Cousins said he didn't get a single offer in free agency. And if you're to believe him, that means that teams basically are saying, we don't trust the Achilles, we're not going to give you what you want. But, and that's true, and this is not a... He got 1 year, $5 million.
It's less than
which
mid-level.
Before the season, before his injury, he was going to get like 5 years, 160. So that injury was the absolute worst timing for him and his future, and it sucks for him a lot.
And he was offered more after the season ended because Mark Stein of the New York Times reported that DeMarcus Cousins was offered 2 years, $40 million by the Pelicans, and then he declined it, so then they took it off the table because they're like, you know what, fine, you can leave.
Yeah, but even with that said about the injury, it's a 1 year deal for $5 million.
Don't they get his bird rights now if he if after this year?
They do not. But
that's only if you trade for someone.
Even if he's not 100%, if he's 70%, getting him at $5 million is a massive, massive upgrade for the Warriors at center. And you know, it's just, it's really, really, really hard to look at the NBA season right now. And unless there's a major catastrophic injury, or maybe two for Golden State, as great as the Celtics are, and as young as they are, and as up and coming as the Sixers are, and as much as the Rockets were a Chris Paul injury or 27 missed threes in a row away from beating the Warriors last year, when things like this DeMarcus Cousins signing happens, it just makes it all feel inevitable. And
even more so now.
Even more so inevitable. And again, the Achilles injury is catastrophic, and he is not guaranteed to be himself.
No, absolutely not.
And like I said, the Rockets were right there. They almost had the Warriors beat. But it just feels...
That's why I want Kawhi to go to Boston.
It just feels
so
like every year Golden State gets some type of break with money, and then during the season with injuries to other players, be it Kyrie and Kevin Love with the Cavs, be it Chris Paul this year.
They get lucky.
It just makes
it
seem so inevitable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they're not a great team, and it doesn't mean they're not great players. It doesn't mean Steve Kerr's not a great coach. But it just feels wrong. And I think that's why the DeMarcus Cousins thing kind of bothers me. Not because it makes it guaranteed, just because it feels so wrong.
That's why I want Kawhi to go to Boston so bad, because I think if Kawhi...
I don't want Boston Celtics to win anything, but I know what I'd you rather mean. Them, competition is what you
I'd
mean.
Rather them win than the Warriors at this point.
Yeah, I guess.
So, I mean, because if you do that deal that I mentioned earlier, you could have a starting five of Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Kawhi Leonard, Jason Tatum, and Al Horford.
It's pretty damn good.
That matches the Warriors.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And then it really just comes down to the benches at that point. That team could beat the Warriors. That team has a coin flip shot at beating the Warriors.
Yeah.
And even could beat them if things go their way. Like, that team would be able to score, defend, rebound, play at the pace of the Warriors. They already played fast. They already play an offense that requires a lot of ball movement and off-cutting screens. So you know they'd be able to at least defend for it. They were one of the best defensive teams in the league this year, and were so even when Gordon Hayward was out for the whole year and Kyrie Irving went down.
Even with that, does this not feel inevitable to you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know why we're playing an NBA season at this point now. Like, I'm going to watch the NBA because I want to see young players develop and I want to see how things play out. But when it gets to the playoffs, like, it almost makes the regular season now more interesting to me, as now that LeBron's gone and now that the Warriors have continued to add to their war chest, like, why do I even watch the playoffs at this point? If you could basically just sim 4-0 sweeps for probably the first two series and then maybe they lose one or two games in the West Finals and then blow out whoever comes out of the East.
Yeah, like I said, you know, nothing's guaranteed, and there are situations that the Warriors wouldn't have won titles the past couple years with Durant, but it just makes it feel inevitable. And your point about the regular season being more interesting is a good point, because guess what? That's the only season the Cavs are going to have.
You're telling me you're not going to make the playoffs?
That's what I'm telling you, Graham. The East is... And also, this is another thing to note. DeMarcus Cousins going west, LeBron going west, Paul George staying west. Like...
The East is devoid of talent.
There have been... I saw a tweet, I don't have the exact numbers, but it's something like 13 of the 14 players active in the NBA to make a first-team All-NBA are in the West. It's ridiculous.
I don't know why they keep doing that.
Talent disparity... it's because the Western Conference has a lot more franchises that people want to play for. But, so, to finish up with the Cavs, even with as bad as the East is, unless Colin Sexton is miraculously good or something,
he'd have to be rookie of the year.
Dude. I don't see the Cavs having a chance at the postseason.
No.
And
they're going to be like a sub 31 team.
Reports right now say that the Cavs are planning on contending for a playoff spot this year.
That's funny because they're not going to.
And the Cavs should tank and rebuild immediately.
Their pick's only top 10 protected, which we talked about before. Their first round pick for the next few years is only top 10 protected. So if the Cavs do just enough to get like the 11 or 12 spot and lose that pick, that ruins their chances. If Dan Gilbert wants to do it for a year just to be like, hey, LeBron, eat.
This is the problem is Dan Gilbert's pride and ego has gotten him in trouble so many times before. It's almost like,
does he not have someone that's just like, hey, I know you're the owner. If you want your team to be worth something, you should probably build your team, not try to just retool your team. Because the Cavs right now as constructed are a sub 30 win team, even with Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Because the last time when LeBron left, we didn't have anyone.
Remember when people thought the Cavs could be a 40 win team? They won like, what, 17 games?
Now in the Eastern Conference, they could probably win
35 plus games?
Because they at least have Kevin Love. They at least have him.
George, right now, what's the Cavs starting lineup? George Hill, Korver.
Colin Sexton. I don't know why you keep asking.
Well, he's a rookie. They'll probably bring him off the bench.
But what's the point of that if we're trying to build?
That's my point, as I agree with you.
And or
I
think we could just start both
the
of them.
Okay, look. If the Cavs are going to try and get maximum return for Kevin Love, it's a smart thing to do to act like you're not going to trade him. Because anyone knows that any player that's, oh yeah, we're trying to trade him, is not going to have as much trade value
We're going to
keep
him,
but you can come get him. But if the Cavs if the Cavs give up a single bit of long-term value or flexibility to do anything resembling winning this year, they're idiots. And if the Cavs do enough, like you said, to not make the playoffs but still finish as a not top 10 team or not a bottom 10 team, they're going to lose their first-round pick. The Cavs, for background, owe a first-round pick to Atlanta for Kyle Korver. If it's not a top 10 pick this next year,
Oh, it's top 10
pick. It's top 10 pick the next year. If it's not, if the Cavs pick is in the top 10 this year and next year, the Cavs give the Hawks a second round pick instead.
Why would you not?
The Cavs have every reason to be a bottom 10 team, A, because that's how you build long-term success. And right now the Cavs have approximately nothing that has of long-term success,
except for maybe Colin Sexton. Look at the teams that have been good so far. Like, the Warriors built a team based on the draft. They drafted Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steph Curry. Yeah, they brought in Durant, but they had all those pieces in place. The Celtics drafted Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier and all of these players, and they signed some supplemental guys. Everyone starts with the draft, so the Cavs can't try to buck that trend and be the smartest team in the room and try to buy everybody, because that's not going to work, because A, no, Cleveland is not a hot spot destination, especially now that LeBron's gone, and B, you're not going to build long-term success, because eventually, also, if you build up those assets, you can trade for a star.
Name me every player on the Cavs roster right now that you think could be on the roster the next time they make the playoffs.
None of them. Sexton and Nance.
Jetty Osman.
And maybe Jetty, so three people.
And maybe Ante Zizic.
I just don't believe in him enough as a player, so I think he's probably going to be gone.
No, I don't think Ante Zizic is going to be a great player. I'm just saying, I think Nance and Sexton and Jetty Osman is your core right now.
That's probably the three that you would
say. That's the guys that are untouchable, basically. Yeah. And maybe Zizic can be a supplemental piece, maybe.
Zizic, maybe.
But that's where the Cavs are starting their rebuild off at. That is role players.
Every team has better core than that. Even Phoenix has DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker and Josh Jackson and Mikal Bridges.
The point is, the Cavs are smart to try and keep Kevin Love's trade value high. But they can't try and be smart about it for so long they don't trade him and don't get value for him or are good enough to not be a bottom 10 team. And it's weird to say that, you know, after all these years of LeBron being here, that the Cavs want to be one of the 10 worst teams in the NBA. But it is absolutely the best thing to do.
It's the best for them long term.
We're definitely going to have a lot of things to discuss with the Cavs going forward, just in terms of if they do make trades or other, you know, if they make any free agent signings, which I doubt, or other trades in general. So,
well, they can't really make free agent signings.
Right. There's going to be a lot to talk about with the Cavs going forward in the future, and we're going to see what the future holds with young players and with the current roster, but I just don't trust Dan Gilbert to have the right mindset, and hopefully he does.
They should lock him in a room for...
LeBron's the Lakers now. Sells the team. It's time to give up. And when I say give up, I mean give up on winning now and build for the future. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, we knew when LeBron came back that our window was LeBron being here. And once he left, it was going to be this way.
Oh, yeah.
It's just now the reality is here, and you have to
make...
The Cavs probably aren't going to get lucky like they were last time LeBron left and win the lottery as much as they did. And they blew a couple of those picks bad.
Hey, Anthony Bennett was only the worst number one pick in the history of the NBA.
Deion Waiters wasn't a good pick.
Yeah, at four, he was okay.
Kyrie was a great pick. Tristan was an okay pick.
And Kyrie was the obvious pick.
Yeah, and Kyrie was the obvious pick. So, like,
and Thompson helped them win a title.
Wiggins, they traded him.
Wiggins is not really working out.
No, but we don't know what it would have been had he stayed with...
Right.
Had LeBron not come back, the Cavs kept him, and maybe he would have developed better. But point is, the Cavs haven't really had a great... The Cavs can't just assume that they're going to get lucky again and win the lottery.
Nope. The Cavs got to do what's best for team building. We'll see what they do. There's still plenty more moves to come. We're going to have more NBA podcasts in the coming weeks and months. We're not going to just stop podcasting about the Cavs and the NBA because LeBron's gone. Maybe it'll be a little less interesting to watch the Cavs now. Although that said,
Browns will be back soon too.
I do want to see what Kevin Love can do as an actual, you know, foundational offensive piece.
That he can be Minnesota Kevin Love again, maybe.
Yeah, that could be interesting. But if he gets hurt and the Cavs can't trade him, then I'll be really mad. But okay, so we'll have more NBA content coming up. We're gonna have like an NBA contract summary thing. We're kind of just gonna look at a little more detail about free agency, what contracts we like, what contracts we don't like. There's still a lot of players to sign and a lot of dominoes to fall.
And if there's a blockbuster trade.
Yep, there could be a big trade. There's a lot of stuff still to come in the NBA, so we're going to have definitely more NBA podcasts. Also, the quarterfinals of the World Cup look really, really interesting, and those start Friday. Yeah. So Graham and Olam are going to have a red, white, and blue podcast for you.
Not red, white, and blue.
Yeah, red and blue. That's a good point. Team USA. Team USA is not in the World Cup because we suck. Anyways, red and blue podcast for sure for the World Cup. It'll be going up probably Thursday morning with the quarterfinal game starting Friday.
Me and Olam are going to probably record it tomorrow, but it'll be posted later in the day just because we want to give this a chance to breathe.
Look, Cavs fans. It's going to be dark times for quite a while. But
hey,
don't
Browns,
give up.
The Browns are Cleveland's team.
But don't give up.
The Browns are Cleveland's
But don't
team
give
now.
Up. Dan Gilbert could always sell the team. All right. And with that, we're out. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace.